This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. This is episode number 112, and today I am talking to Chloe Franken of Sophie. So my name is Derek Gallimore, and today we dive into Chloe Franken's Sophie. Now, that's a bit of a mouthful, but basically, Chloe is the president and COO of Sophie, which is an outsourcing service provider focused on the startup niche. Okay, so they support the back-end services of US startups. It's a really interesting space and one that Chloe has basically built with her bare hands. So Chloe is a fascinating girl. If you want to hear her backstory, then go to episode 107 because we spoke to her earlier there about that. But I learned a lot today. And again, you know, we don't just talk about her BPO called Sophie. We talk more broadly about outsourcing, and certainly I learned a lot. So enjoy this. If you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/112. Enjoy. Today we are joined again by Chloe Franken. Hi, Chloe.
Hi, Derek. How are you?
Fantastic, fantastic. And today we have previously had a chat to Chloe a little bit about the origin, her journey, the origin of Sophie, which is a startup specialist outsourcing service, and also a little bit about the industry. So today I want to deep dive a little bit more into Sophie, which is Chloe's outsourcing agency, and get to know exactly what they do. And this isn't because this is an infomercial, but it's actually because I really find a lot of value in deep diving into different types of BPO offerings, different structures, different pricing structures, and different niches such as Chloe's Sophie. This is confusing me awfully, Chloe, having to remember which name is name.
But people have called me Sophie.
Yeah, I imagine they have, huh? And So, but anyway, so it's fantastic to have you on board. And I suppose initially, can you just, for people that haven't listened to the previous episode with you, can you just give them a bit of an introduction as to who you are and how you came to be the president and COO of Sophie?
Sure. Well, my name is Chloe, and I'm currently the COO and the president of Sophie. I started with Sophie as the general manager, and we started off as an in-house call center for a student rewards program in Boston. And in 2012, we became an official BPO where we served other clients, particularly in the startup industry. So we take care of customer service and back-end support. And we've been growing exponentially. And in 2008, we're actually planning to expand in Cebu. So a lot of big things for such a small company.
Chloe, the Sophie is based in Dumaguete, which is maybe a second or third tier city in the Philippines. Can you describe Dumaguete for the listeners and kind of some of the strategic advantages and maybe disadvantages of you being based down there?
Yeah, well, Dumaguete is a small town. We have about just over 100,000 people in population in the main city. And its population is basically, it's a huge contrast because we have a lot of young student population because it's a university town. And we also have a huge retirement population because of all the expats that retire here. And those two are very indicative of what Dumaguete is, because it's such a small town, but it has a young vibe where it's a little urban town where you get your restaurants and you get good schools. So that's why it's very attractive for the young people to study here, because it's very conducive for the environment is less stressful than big cities like Cebu and Manila. So it's very conducive for studying. So it's attractive for young students to study college here. We have Silliman University, which has excellent education. So yeah, so that's the other side of it. And it's also, because of its laid-back nature, a lot of foreigners come here to retire and to settle down. My late stepfather was Dutch, and when we were living in Cebu, we came to Dumaguete to visit some family, and he just fell in love with the place, and that's why our whole family decided to move here a few years back. So Dumaguete has that vibe where, you know, it's laid back, but it has enough energy to keep you interested and to keep you staying.
Right. And then, so people considering outsourcing, they do look at, you know, whether you come to the major city, which is Manila, or you head out to some of the outlying cities and towns. Now, one of the major considerations there is the salary differential. So maybe mm-hmm. you can speak a little bit to that. But then also the depth of the pool of skills and talents in these towns. Could you maybe speak on that a little bit? Like, what is the sort of salary differentials, and can you get the kind of skills that you need down in Dumaguete?
Sure. Definitely, the cost of living is in Dumaguete is considerably lower than in Manila and in Cebu. So for a smaller company looking to start a business here, you get the advantage of having, you know, it's affordable to pay people to work for you because the cost of living is pretty low. And aside from that, we have so many graduates every year from top universities that you have a huge English speaking pool to start your business. And aside from a lower cost of living where you can have lower salaries compared to Cebu and Manila, everything else is more affordable. To give you a comparison, and I've just recently really learned a lot of the pricing difference when I was looking at offices in Cebu. Cebu, your office rental per square meter would be around 600 to 800 pesos per square meter at a PEZA location. And here in Dumaguete, it's half that price.
Right.
For okay. a PEZA location. So you see a huge difference.
So and that's about 15 to 20 US dollars per square meter per month versus you're then looking at about $7.50 to 10 US dollars.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, so right off the bat, just the operation of the cost of operations is much lower in Dumaguete. And Dumaguete has the infrastructure for fiber optic lines, so internet is not a problem. So everything else, there are PEZA buildings here as well. So if you're looking at a place where you want to start your office and you want to start at a place where it's affordable, but yet you have the infrastructure to support it, Dumaguete is a great option. And not just that, it's just when you have people who are less stressed, they're happier and more productive at work. And in Dumaguete, people are just generally happier because they're not stuck in traffic for 1 or 2 hours just to commute to work. You get to work in 15 minutes.
Yeah, so, that's a huge thing, actually, isn't it? Most people in Manila are stuck in traffic for 1.5 hours, which affects punctuality and absenteeism rates, and
definitely.
It has a lot of knock-on effects. Okay, so you started Sophie, well, it sort of became its own entity back in 2012, and then you found your niche in being the back office and providing support functions for the startup community in the West. Can you tell me a little bit about your services, specifically Sophie's services, and what do you offer and how do you differentiate yourselves from other BPOs?
Well, when we started off, we had our roots in travel, specifically in student travel. So when we started getting clients of our own, we really targeted the travel industry. So a lot of our clients right now are in travel, and it could be in hotel booking, airline booking, and activities booking. So we're into that, and our market also consists of companies in mobile applications, e-commerce, a lot of tech companies. So we provide primarily customer service in terms of billing, handling clients, managing accounts, and we also do the back end stuff. So we have lead generation, research, data entry, and even CMS support. So we do a bit of everything. We're also starting to expand our services to social media management and digital marketing. So we kind of really want to do a lot of varied things because we want to have a good mix of different clients in different industries. And it also attracts good talent to us because we have options for them in terms of career where, you know, if you're studying graphic design at school, you get a chance to be a graphic designer for a cool startup in the U.S. Mm. So we want to be varied with our services.
And so your niche now is the startup community in the U.S., it sounds. How do you think that outsourcing services for them differs to bigger companies? I imagine startups, they're a lot more kind of dynamic. You have mm-hmm. to have people that kind of are very generalist in their application, but mm-hmm. also they're potentially high growth and they change a lot. Yeah. Do you notice mm-hmm. the differences with startups?
Well, yeah, definitely. Because when you work with a typical traditional company, a big company, they have their process in place. They have, they basically know what they want. And they know, you know, they have rules that, okay, you have to do this and that, and that's our process. Versus a startup that literally has even no SLA in place. And they basically need us to kind of work with them to see, you know, what they can outsource, because sometimes they don't even know what they want to outsource in the first place. So I think our experience as a company that started off with another company and then later on had to go about it on our own kind of makes us a startup ourselves, and it just kind of really gave us training in terms of how to be more agile, how to be more flexible, and how to think outside the box, and how not to fear the unknown, and how not to be intimidated by something that we don't know how to do yet.
So do you find you're taking on these startups, and actually, you know, a lot of them are run by, for want of a better description, but scared little boys that aren't actually quite sure how to run a business. So they come to you, and because of now your expertise and experience in setting up processes and setting up back offices, they can actually rely on your expertise and buy your services. Which are you basically running people's back offices for them?
Yes, exactly. Sometimes because of our experience, we kind of give them a guide as to, okay, this is what you need and this is how we're going to do it. If you don't have a script or a process to handle your customer service, this is something that works for another company that's similar to you. So they really look into us for some sort of direction as to how we can get their back office organized and how we can make things more efficient for them. Because sometimes, you know, a small company, because our rates are pretty comparative to freelancers online, it's fairly cheap for these startups to get us. So sometimes they just get us for the whole month, and throughout the shift of an agent, they might even just have work for 4 hours. So when we see that, it's up to us to tell the startup, hey, your agent is underutilized. You might probably want to give tasks for them, and they get direction from us, especially for those who are just kind of clueless and starting out. And it's a great relationship because it builds trust. They trust us that we have their backs, and we're not gonna, you know, take advantage of them, and we're gonna work with them so that their agent is gonna be successful and their agent is gonna provide value to their organization.
Yeah, it really is a true partnership, isn't it? Because you're actually standing side by side and you're almost figuring out the business as it evolves with the founders of the business. What and can you give a brief demographic insight into these startups? How big are they typically? You know, how many staff? Are they kind of externally funded? How do they work?
Well, most of our clients, when they started with us, they were in their just the starting stages of their business, and eventually they become an accelerator, and then they grow. And some of them, in fact, one of our clients started with us with just one virtual assistant, and they're actually the client that was bought out by a bigger company, and they're no longer a startup, and they're getting they have about 60 agents with us now, and they're going to grow into 500. So we also have clients that are fairly small, and they start with just one agent and basically keep their team size small to maybe just five agents. So we have a good mix of startups that are growing fast and are really hiring aggressively, and startups that are a little bit more conservative and are keeping their team size to under 10 agents.
Interesting. And do you have many startups that shut down?
Yes. Some startups break their contract with us because, one, they don't have a need for someone full time. Right. And our model works with a full-time agent. Some of them, because they're not as busy, they'd want someone to just be able to answer calls and be billed for each call. Right. Now, our setup doesn't work that way, because a startup would have to have an exclusive agent for an entire month. We don't let our clients share their agents. So a model where we only bill someone per call that they an agent answers doesn't work for us. So sometimes it doesn't work out because they just don't have enough work for our agents to work full time.
Fantastic. And how does your pricing structure work?
We start off with $7 per hour, which is about $12.60 per month per agent. And that's a full time agent working 5 days a week, 45 hours a week.
So that's how much? $7.60 US per hour?
No, it's $7 per hour, which comes off at $12.60 a month.
And that is US dollars. And of course, that covers their salary. That covers all of the benefits on top of the salary. That covers your infrastructure. But also, as you were saying before, that covers your, this tacit inclusion of your expertise and your processes and your guidance in terms of all of this. And what sort of capabilities does a $7 an hour agent have, or what sort of functions can they serve?
Well, basically anything, because with $7 per hour, when we recruit someone specifically for an account. So if we have a client that is in online food delivery, we would look for someone who has interest in food, and on top of that, have a background in customer service. So someone for $12.60 a month, someone could answer the phones, make orders, handle customers, as well as write blurbs for the restaurant and stuff like that. So it depends on the requirements of the client, and we try to find a profile that fits their requirements to a T.
Right. Fantastic. And then if you build out teams, or your pricing structure then is effectively a wrapped in all-inclusive price. And then if you build out teams, can you do the prices alter or vary?
Yes. As your team grows, we have different price structures as you scale your team. So from one agent up to nine agents, it's a little bit more expensive. But once you hit 10 agents, you get a discount. The discount varies per account, because some accounts are more technical. So then, of course, pricing would differ, because we would pay technical agents higher than customer service agents. However, each time you scale in increments of 10 agents, you do get a lower rate.
Right. Fantastic. And that's to encourage bigger and bigger teams to stay with you. Amazing. Thank you, Chloe. And of course, if people want to get in touch with you and or Sophie, which is your startup specialized outsourcing service, how can they do that?
They can simply just go to the website, sophie-inc.com, and there's a little button there that says start your free trial, and they can click on that. They can send their information, and we will get back to them right away.
Fantastic. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Chloe. If you want to get in touch with Chloe, if you want to know any more about anything about this episode, then go to our show notes. You can find that at outsourceaccelerator.com/112. And of course, if you want to ask us anything, anything at all, then drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.